Our Old Testament reading this evening is the second half of the story of Naaman, the Syrian, who is healed by the prophet Elisha. Naaman is a Syrian. He's a general in an army that, frankly, is not very friendly with Israel at all, and yet is powerful, one of the most powerful men in the world. He, nevertheless, is one who suffers from leprosy. And nothing in his power can bring about any change in that. And so at the urging of others, he approaches the prophet. The prophet won't even come out to see him. He just sends word from his hut that Naaman is to go down to the river and dip himself in 7 times. And at first, Naaman is angry about this. I'm an important man. Couldn't you come out to see me? But after extensive urging by his companions, he does exactly what it is that the prophet tells him to do, and he's healed. We have this moment in his healing where he comes back, where our reading picks up, and he approaches the prophet and wants to give him something. He wants to come back and thank him. The prophet will not receive it, but then he asks for dirt from earth, from that place, at a time when the idea of God was very much focused on a particular place. And he wants to take that all the way home so that he has a reminder of what it was that he had received and who it was that granted it. In our gospel reading today, we hear the story of the 10 lepers, which is familiar to us. 10 lepers isolated because of their illness from society, cut off from their family and their friends, and any participation in the cultural life of the community, shout out from a distance, "Jesus, Master, heal us." And Jesus just instructs them to go to the high priest and show themselves. They'd have to prove that they were cleansed before they'd be readmitted. And so they do. And we're told that they're cleansed on the way, but only one of them, a Samaritan, turns around and comes back and takes the time to kneel down before Jesus, praising God to say thank you. And I think it's easy for us to condemn the others that were there, but I think it's a little more complicated than that. When I was a little boy, I think like most of us, particularly at times in which there was gift-giving, birthdays and Christmases, distinctly remember receiving a gift and turning to run and play with it because it was awesome, and having my mother or my father kind of grab me and pull me back and simply to say, "What do you say?" And then I'd say thank you, and then I'd run off and play with the gift because it was awesome. And I think that is an important lesson because I don't have anybody in my life that does that anymore, right? Nobody grabs my arm and tells me to come back and say those words or ask that question. There are many times in my life, if I'm really honest, where I have flashes of gratitude that come to me just because of what I've encountered in that moment. Because that somebody that I'm with has been generous, because somebody has shown me some act of kindness or love, or where I just, for some reason that I don't even understand, become immediately aware of how blessed I am in friends or in family or in others that surround me in my ministry with those that I serve. Those things happen, and they happen quite often. There's just moments where there's an awareness that, well, that was kind, and there's a gratitude that wells up within me. I don't know that I'm always as good at turning and stopping and saying something. I'm trying to do better with that, but nobody grabs my arm and draws me back and tells me, "What do you say?" But the reason that that's important is that if that experience of gratitude is going to move beyond some passing, fleeting sort of an experience that just rushes past me as I go on to the next thing in life, if it's going to be more than that, then there needs to be a moment in which I stop and I turn around, go back, and say thank you. not just to the person or the individual who I encountered in that moment, but to take time before my Lord to acknowledge the gift that I encountered and to say thanks. John Paul II, in his writings, wrote very often about the need for an attitude of gratitude, that we needed to cultivate a habitual disposition of thanksgiving. But we can't do that if we never stop and turn around. I would imagine that the 9 other lepers in our gospel story, when they found out they were cured, were overjoyed, ecstatic, grateful, tearful, welling up. And they did really exactly what it was that Jesus asked them to do. Go show yourself. And they did. They're not behaving in a manner that is disobedient or hateful or sinful. The difference is one of them, a foreigner, an outsider, one that generally is despised by the rest of the population that was there, stopped, turned around, and we're told that he doesn't just say thanks to Jesus, but that in that act of turning around and saying thank you, he praises and worships and glorifies God. That roots that moment into something beyond just the ecstasy that he felt there, into something that becomes foundational in his relationship with God and in his relationship with others. Gratitude is something that comes over us, that can pierce us, that can lift us in many different ways. But gratitude is also a discipline. It is making the decision to regularly stop, turn around, and say thank you. Not just to the individuals that are in my life, but to turn to our Lord and recognize that the author of life and all that is has blessed me abundantly in those things. And to stop and thank him for those gifts. It's not that gratitude closes us off to any sort of notion that we don't have pain and suffering that also exists. But it keeps us from just focusing on what's not in our life and allows us to recognize, both in the midst of our suffering, also what is, what brings joy, what brings relationship, what brings hope. Naaman took earth back to his home because he wanted to remember. And if we are going to be a people of remembrance, anamnesis, then we need to be a people that takes time to say thank you over and over and over again, to be quite literally Eucharistia, thanksgiving. That thanksgiving, I really do believe, is the foundation of worship. It is the foundation of ministry. It is the foundation of love. And it is that gratitude for what God gives. It gives us the courage and the desire to be an instrument of goodness for others. Amen.